welcome. This is Why Life Is, and I'm your host, Niles McFlower. And we have another great show today dealing with metaphysics and spirituality. And today, I thought it would be interesting to talk about the mental world. Now, you might say, what is that? Some people call it the monastic world, for those of you who have heard other ways of describing it. And it's about part of our universe that is in a different dimension of time and space. It's all around us, in a sense, but we cannot perceive it because our senses are kind of very fixed on this dimension, which has fewer elements to it, than the mental world is. And so we are virtually unaware of its existence. But I'm going to tell you a lot about it. I'm going to describe it to you in great detail. And also, I'm going to tell you why things are the way they are, as I usually do. However, if you have any thoughts or questions or ideas about it, or anything else dealing with metaphysics and spirituality, please feel free to call in at 877-876-5227 if you're in the U.S. If you happen to be in Canada, how about 888-815-9756? Okay, so what is this all about? Well, some of you may have remembered one of the earliest shows I've done on this station that dealt with the astral world and life after death. Now, that particular world is actually another one of these dimensional places that has more dimensions to it than this one that few people are very aware of. And many more people, though, have heard of it because it's kind of in the vernacular, you might say, of some, like, New Age groups, et cetera. They talk about astral this or astral that. But it's really the place where most people end up after they physically die, the astral world is. The mental world, now, if you can imagine this, I want you to think about this. The mental world is the place where people who die from the astral world end up mostly going to. Isn't that interesting? So it's sort of like, you can call it like a continuation of the journey that we are on to eventually leave behind the bodies and senses that we came incarnated with into this world, and by leaving these one by one behind, we eventually bring ourselves back to the full consciousness of the soul, which we are a part of, and which we move back into full consciousness after living in these other dimensions of time and space. Very interesting, huh? I think it is. And most important, I think, is to realize that there is a rhyme and reason to this whole process. It is designed to help us become more spiritual and conscious because we really are making a huge sacrifice. We, being part of our soul, but we being human beings as well, in taking on bodies and senses that belabor us and illusion us in these very dense realms that have limited dimensionality and cause us sometimes to suffer greatly. We come here, though, in order to create more of our Creator. And if we weren't doing it, it wouldn't get done. Human beings are a critical element in the process of helping life to grow beyond a certain level. Yes, there's evolution, but evolution is only a part of the process. Human beings begin the more spiritual process of growing life, in which an understanding of God is inculcated into it. But it has to come from us. If we fail to do that, even though we are capable of so doing, then we suffer as well as the life lower than us suffers because of our own decisions. So it's really up to us, and more so that is the case while we are alive, particularly here in the etheric physical dimension of time and space. It's kind of split into electromagnetic or etheric part and the physical, which all of us, of course, are very familiar with. So it is really up to us, and that's so important to understand, because it'll make it much easier as I describe the mental worlds, because there's more parts to this dimension than just a single one. Like here, everything is kind of crunched together, and it seems like there's only one part to it. But in the astral, and particularly the mental, there is lots of parts to this dimension of time and space. Extremely fascinating. And I hope you're going to enjoy tonight's show and hearing about it. Now, I have talked about this on other stations, and of course, when I teach sometimes, I have talked about this. I've run workshops on it and done a lot of stuff. But the important thing, and I've written books, of course, about it, but the important thing is to realize that every time that I talk about something, I try to bring something new in, because I seldom get it all out anyway. And, you know, I'm growing too. So maybe the last time, if you did hear this maybe years ago in another station I was on or something, you might say, well, I heard that one before. Well, I think if you keep listening, you'll realize that I've got something else to say about it, and maybe the second time around you'll hear it better too. So that's another part of it. For a lot of you out there, you've never heard me before, and that's not going to be a problem for you. Okay, so let me tell you this. We are here, as most of you know, for what, 70, 80 years? If we're lucky, maybe we can make it to 100. It seems like a long time, I realize, but in reality, that's the shortest time that we stay in a single body and its senses, where our consciousness is focused through that body and senses. What does it mean that our consciousness is focused through it? It means that we have not only awareness, but we have the ability to use that awareness to add it to prior awarenesses and prior knowledge to make it something greater. That's what consciousness does for us. And we are able to do that with the senses that we are physically, or I should say that we are alive in at the time, in the easiest fashion. Yes, we could use our astral and mental senses and be fully conscious in them even while we were physically alive, but there is a whole set of restrictive circumstances that makes that very difficult to do. Those are called out-of-body experiences, and it is not the easiest thing to achieve, particularly if we're talking about the mental realm. Now, to get to the astral world and have an out-of-body experience, while difficult, is possible for many people. To get to the mental worlds and do so is almost impossible, but it is possible and very, very difficult to do. Why? Because the senses are much more complicated to use, because the dimension has more parts to it, more dimensionality. And the increasing level of dimensionality causes us to have higher consciousness in order to use a sense in a fully conscious way. And we, while we're living here, restrict our consciousness due to our own selfishness and illusion to relatively low levels. And so to be able to use mental senses in fully conscious ways is quite difficult. But not impossible, but quite difficult. Now, some of you might say, well, have you ever done that, Niles? And the answer is yes. Oh, you're tooting your own horn, are you? Well, you need to know that I've done it, because I'm going to be talking about places from direct experience, not from things that I've read. And I would have to falsify where I got the knowledge otherwise to keep you from hearing that, yes, I've been there, done that, know about it. So I have to tell you that, whether you think I'm tooting my horn or not, or, you know, whether I'm lacking humility. I hope I'm not, but regardless, you know, it's sort of like this is that part where I say, this is to inform you of how I know, and that's how I know. Okay. Now, does that mean I haven't read something about the mental world? I have. Some things are not too bad in terms of their construction, as far as what I think is the correct depiction. But most of what I've read has been relatively incomplete and sometimes grossly wrong. So, I have to tell you what I've experienced, and we'll go from there. All right. By the way, there's a very good chance that this is part one of at least a two-part show. So be aware of that. So don't get upset if we don't get finished, because I don't think we can. The mental worlds are very difficult to explain. There's many complex issues. And it is so complex that even simplifying it puts it into the category of, wow, that's something really out there. Okay, so let's go through some of the basics about learning about the mental world. The first is that when we die from the physical world, our consciousness shifts to our astral senses, and we experience a new realm of dimensionality and time and space that technically interpenetrates this realm, but we can't perceive it, as I said earlier, until our consciousness shifts fully into our astral body and senses, which happens for most people at death unless they have out-of-body experiences. And once we live in the astral world, we are living under a new set of physics. I like that word, physics. Yeah. What's happening is that there are changes in the very foundation, the very basics of physics. As a matter of fact, the very first principle in physics is sometimes referred to as the alpha constant. Alpha is like the first or beginning. It's like the first letter in the Greek alphabet. It's the beginning constant, and that constant changes. It changes not a little bit, actually a significant amount, and it changes not just once, but in seven distinct, actually there's even an eighth, ways that divides up the astral worlds into segregated parts based upon how well people think. And you might say, well, how well they think, what does thought got to do with it? Well, interestingly, the alpha constant, and particularly part of the alpha constant called the quantum constant, oh, I like that word, is all dependent upon thought. Yeah. Thought changes this quantum constant and has a major effect on the entire alpha constant. And so, interestingly, it alters the nature of the world surrounding human beings, particularly because human beings are the better thinkers compared to other life forms below them that exist in the astral world. So, interestingly, that's what goes on. You might say, well, how come that isn't happening here? Well, because here, a thing called inertia and the high density of energy, which has its own thought, that thought is gravity, which produces inertia, it causes it to nullify most of the thinking of humans most of the time. So we don't notice that we are changing our environment through our thought the way we would in the astral world. There are some changes, by the way, but they are very hidden from us, even climatic and other things that could take place and do take place because of human thought. However, we just don't notice them because they are on the scale that it's too hard for us to be able to perceive in a regular fashion. In other words, as I'm sitting here right now, I couldn't move an object in the room around me as I might in the astral world, or change my perspective of sense to be many miles away from here as I could in the astral world, because the gravitational energies that are around me are reducing my ability to do that. In the astral world, that doesn't happen. The gravitational effects are much, much less. Frequencies are much higher in the senses that people have an astral sense, and the direction of those frequencies are much closer to the direction of the thought of God itself, making us naturally more spiritual in our thought. How do you like that? Yeah. And so that allows people to be able to exist in the astral world and use their senses in ways which are profoundly better than they are here, and in ways that allows them to have less illusion, because sense gives us awareness. Better awareness provides usually better knowledge and better consciousness. So it improves everything for most people. And that also allows us to divide up the astral world into segments, into different parts, based upon how well we can do this. So we live around people who are more at our level of consciousness. We're not all kind of crunched together the way we are here. And that's kind of a good thing, because it allows people in some ways, through this homogeneous consciousness, to develop in some cases a lot faster without having the inhibitions of others around us with lower consciousness causing us problems. Yeah, and they can do that. Well, there's so much more to tell you about, and of course I'm going to do that when we come back from break, which will be in about 2.5 minutes or maybe a little bit longer.
Since childhood, I've had questions about my life and life in general that I couldn't find adequate answers to. Questions like, why am I here? Why are others here? Does the universe have a purpose? And how does that relate to my life? More recently, I've been wondering what happens when we die, especially the reasons why. I'm more of a doubter than a believer in many things, and answers that include the whys allow me to think and figure out the truth for myself. I've been reading a book, Life's Hidden Meaning. This one book contains more answers, including the whys, than all other sources I've read or heard. It's amazing to me that every one of my questions has been thoroughly answered. More importantly, I have found that all of these answers so far have checked out to be true. I hope this message helps some of you in your quest for better understanding. The name of this wonderful book is, again, Life's Hidden Meaning by metaphysician Niles McFlower. Some bookstores sell it. I got my copy directly from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com. Life's Hidden Meaning may enlighten your mind and bring some peace and joy to your heart.
The following statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. ViroPel is a dietary supplement. It is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Colds and flu are a problem that many want answers and alternatives for. Let me tell you about ViroPel, a certified all-organic herbal and nutraceutical formula designed to support relief from symptoms of cold and flu. With so much concern about potential bird flu outbreaks, there may be some help. ViroPel's patents include proven immune enhancement, adding significant preventative and other immune system benefits. In effectiveness trials, most experienced relief from symptoms in 2 to 3 days. Think about how long your last flu symptoms lasted. Incredible and amazing are the words most often used to describe the effects of ViroPel. Using 136 of the highest grade ingredients in a new science gives ViroPel its effectiveness. Relief could be just 1 to 3 days away. To learn more or to purchase ViroPel, call Alternative Health Approaches at 800-777-7850. That's 800-777-7850. Or visit ViroPel, that's ViruPel.org.
We are back, and this is Why Life Is. I'm your host, Niles McFlower. And tonight we're talking about the mental worlds. Some of you may call it the monastic worlds. That's another way to aim for it. And I'm going to hopefully paint a very interesting picture in detail about what life is like in the mental worlds. Before we get there, though, I'm trying to explain why these worlds exist and how they're set up, so to speak. And so hopefully you heard the first segment. And if you have any questions, of course, call in at 877-876-5227 if you're in the U.S. But I think it's important to understand that these understandings are based upon what I call my own experiments in visiting these worlds and out-of-body experiences and performing experiments to figure out much of the information that I'm giving, especially in the first segment and part of this one, because a lot of people say, well, how in the heck could you know any of this stuff? I mean, well, I'm a kind of an experimenter. Yeah, a scientist for sure, but an experimenter. Some of you may know I have an extensive background in different sciences. But I think the most important thing is that it really is about, we'll say, testing and experimenting and observation as well. Observation is sometimes called phenomenology. And so all of that together is what gives me this understanding. And it isn't about guessing or, well, I'll just fantasize and make this stuff up. I mean, someone could do that, but it would be pretty hard to do it the way I do it because it all fits together, and it does tend to work and support each other. So it's testable from a number of different angles. Okay, so we're talking about the astral world, and people get there, and they find themselves to be more conscious. They find more homogeneity among the people that they live around, and it is possible to change the consciousness of a person while they're living there. A person can change it for themselves, and they could actually move from one astral subworld, it's called, to another. And people who live in higher subworlds can even go to lower ones if they so choose. So there is some mobility between these parts of each dimension. A very interesting fact. That has all kinds of ramifications, by the way. Most of them good, but some with some glitchy parts as well. I'm not going to go into all of that tonight, but it is interesting to know that it exists and that there's a lot to understand about life after we live in this physical world. People who live in the astral world live a life that is usually much longer. And you might say, well, how long? Well, it could be hundreds and hundreds of years. 500-600 is not unusual. More than that is certainly possible. And the reason the people live there so long isn't because their lifetimes of total incarnation in physical years are so long. It's because of a thing called time dilation. Now, what is that? That means that because people are living at higher frequencies and at dimensionally a more complex dimension, time itself changes, and there is more time in which to live than the time that we have here. So someone living in the astral world, as an example, might live 12, 15 times as long as the equivalent amount of time is taking place here. Two people in the astral world, and they sometimes can observe some things about us here, and even communicate with us through some mediums in other ways here, we seem to be virtually motionless. We're moving extremely slowly, which gives them a great advantage, by the way, in helping sometimes us to become aware of what seems to be an inevitable crisis or problem that we are unaware of because we just can't see it coming, and they can. They have this ability because we are virtually moving in super slow motion in relationship to them. Now the nice thing about that, you need to understand, okay, well, wow, if you really live much longer, then do you get bored and tired, or I mean, you turn into a wretched old thing, and you can. No, for the most part, you don't change that much in relationship to time, because the body does not age quite as quickly for many of the people who live in the astral world. This is not true of all, but in many. And also, there is so much more ability to use one's senses and creative abilities and thought. And there's so much more one can do because energy follows thought thousands of times more so than here. You can create with just your thoughts many things. That the time doesn't pass as slowly. It seems like you've got so much more you can do. You don't feel the effects of, like, living a long time and not getting anywhere or being bored and lonely. Quite the opposite, actually. I would say, despite the fact someone may live 500, 600, 700, 800 years in the astral world, they oftentimes have a more enjoyable life a more fulfilling life that has much to do with the fact that they can be more creative. Now, the one thing they can't create more of is things in this dimension of time and space. Once you don't have a body and senses any longer, you can't do much of anything in the time and space that you have left. So the physical world, the reason we need to be here is to make changes while we're here, because once we leave, it's almost impossible to make any changes in this world, because you're living in this other world. And so, and you don't have the body and senses to do anything about it. So that's a very important point to remember as we go through this whole scenario that I'm going to be explaining to you. Eventually, though, people do die from the astral world. Even though the body can last hundreds and hundreds of years, it doesn't last forever. As a matter of fact, about as much as time is dilated, times the amount of time that people can live in the physical world, is approximately or close to the amount of time they actually live in the astral world. So in a fairly consistent way, people die in a kind of relative way in the same period of time. People generally live 30 to 50 of the physical years here in the astral world times the time dilation, which gives them a fairly long lifetime, to say the least, because time can be dilated as much as approximately 24 times greater than here. That gives you a lot of time to live in. And so, during that time, a person can do many things, and towards the end of their life, yes, they will lose some sense, because there's an accumulation of some sense loss, and the bodies will age somewhat, but not as much as they do progressively within life here. The amazing thing about it is that people in the astral world, for the most part, are not afraid of death like we are. Now, you might say, well, how come? And the interesting answer is they remember that they were physically alive, and they died, and they didn't die in consciousness. They only died in body. And it's much more well-known that there is a place to go live in, whether they call it the mental world or not, after life in the astral world. And a significant minority of people in the astral world know that that life is immortal and that they will eventually go back to being in full consciousness, their soul, living in the highest or higher, or much higher part of the mental world than even they will live in after their life in the astral world is over. So they have this to look forward to, and there is no great urgency or fear in their life about staying alive astrally. So as life becomes, we'll say, less meaningful, people do not regret necessarily leaving the astral domain. And that relieves them of a lot of anxiety and fear that people here in this world unfortunately have. Hopefully, those of you who are hearing me tonight will gain some relief, maybe, if you buy into some of what I'm saying. Even more so, get one of the books I've written or many of the other books that are available by other authors as well, and read about this, because relieving oneself of fear of death causes us to lead a more, we'll call it, godly life and a more meaningful life. And it causes us to be open to creating more of God here rather than be focused on ourselves and the fear of absolute death, which is death of consciousness, which does not happen. I want to make that point very, very clear. Okay, so someone eventually does die. People, all people, do eventually die from the astral world. All people who aren't evil. Okay, I'll give you that. Evil people have their own kind of crazy thing going on, but we won't get to that tonight. And so most people go on to the mental world, and when they do, they find themselves now living through a body and an additional sense, additional dimensionality to their senses that allows them to perceive much more of their creator in themselves and in others, allows them to live a more virtuous life than they have had ever lived up to that point, And it gives them much more ability to create themselves closer to their own souls while they are alive in what are known as the lower subworlds of the mental world. And you might say, well, okay, if they're doing all that, then how come they're there? Well, there's a couple of reasons. The first is that the mental world is mostly controlled by humans. Some animals have very minimal amounts of mental ability in life, but in reality, it's humans that are the dominant life force in the mental world. There are kingdoms much greater than the human, but they live in worlds and develop themselves in worlds greater than the mental world. So the mental world is really where we tend to be most in consciousness in. And even while we exist in the astral and the etheric physical worlds, like you're hearing me right now, we are mostly using some amount of what's called mental thought. And mental thought comes from mental senses, although we may not be aware of that. And those mental senses exist in the lower and somewhat the higher mental worlds. And our personality, the part of us that we say, it's us, it's me, it's whatever, and even the self that is connected to that personality, exists in the lower mental world. So this is like a very familiar place to us, even though most of us don't know that, amazingly. And so once we arrive in the mental world, we actually feel more comfortable, more we'll say, like, this is the place I always thought I was going to be, and it gives us a sense of, we'll call it empowerment, or the ability to truly be who we came originally to the physical world to be, but maybe didn't succeed as much as we would like. This is the world where we really take stock and hold of who we are and decide to make ourselves into something better, usually. That's a good thing. And the astral world is sort of in between. Some people do find that kind of life for themselves in the astral world, but unfortunately, the majority of people still are stuck very much on being self-centered and into a more sensual experience than a inclusive with sensual mental experience. And so, unfortunately, it takes shedding bodies and senses before we can get rid of enough illusion before we can see who we really are and what we're really there for. You might say, well, that seems like a waste, because if you were right, Niles, when you said 10 minutes ago that when people go to another world, they can't change the world they left. That's true. But we get more chances because we're going to be coming back. So the changes we make in one life, if they are virtuous, stay with us for the next life, and we'll improve upon ourselves. So don't think that it's a waste. I know that some people say, well, why even bother? It doesn't sound like you ever get anywhere in this situation. No, it's just the opposite. God created a universe in which all of us have like grace. We're all being helped to improve ourselves and to move ahead and forward. It's not some capricious natured situation of randomness. I know that that's what science sometimes says these days, but that science is an illusion. It's the science of people who live here, of course. And I'm telling you, that isn't the real way the universe is set up. It's set up the opposite. It's set up to help us to grow and to become greater beings. So a great purpose in going to the mental world is to improve upon ourselves and to make ourselves into greater beings and eventually back into being our own soul. And at the same time, to learn how to, again, function as a soul and to do some great things and to live an amazingly wondrous life, much greater in wonder, much greater in joy than people have, generally speaking, in the astral world. So if it sounds like I'm selling you big time on the mental world, I am, because I can tell you there's no comparison. The mental world is a much grander place, a much more godly place, a place where people can really become, we'll say, junior souls while they are still living within a body other than the soul body itself. It's an amazing place just from that one standpoint. And there's so much more I have to tell you. But again, we're coming to that time when we need to take a break. And I will be back in, say, close to 3 minutes. And I'll tell you much more about the details, the individual details of living in the mental worlds.
What book are you reading?
It's a novel, kind of, about romance, love, and spiritual life in general.
Kind of a novel? What do you mean?
Well, it's based on some real-life experiences and even real characters. Some of their experiences are fascinating and remarkable. I can't put this book down.
How come the title is Afterlife Love?
That's part of the fascination. This book describes the afterlife in intricate detail and even explains why things are the way they're explained.
But how can anyone write about or know that?
Some of the characters travel out of body to some places that people who've already died also go to. I'm finding it completely believable because it all makes sense and fits into a bigger picture for me.
Hon, what happens to these people?
You can read it for yourself when I'm done if you want.
Better yet, I'll get my own copy so we can discuss it while we read. Let me see. I'll write down the title. It's Afterlife Love by Niles McFlower. McFlower.
Afterlife Love is available in some bookstores and from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com or 480-966-3132. That's 480-966-3132.
Let me tell you about most supplements that help support joint health, movement, and ease. They usually contain a few helpful substances that work on some people moderately well. For many others, these levels of help are either not enough or are not helpful at all. But there is a product that contains 36 different high-potency and very effective ingredients that support overall joint health, movement, and ease when moving. It's freedom of movement by alternative health approaches, and it works in many different ways. This formula is critically balanced to synergistically and dramatically improve joint movement through supportive health, and usually within several hours. The relief generally lasts for an entire day and over time can be permanent. Freedom of movement comes with a money-back guarantee. Even shipping is refunded for the first bottle. This unique formulation has helped thousands to maintain joint health. The price is $24.95 for a 90-caplet bottle. It's available from Alternative Health Approaches at 800-777-7850. Give this powerful all-natural supplement a try if you haven't found relief from other sources. That's freedom of movement. Call 800-777-7850.
We're back. This is Why Life Is, and I'm your host, Niles McFlower. And we are talking tonight about the mental world, and actually it's a bunch of sub-worlds. And I'm going to go into now what happens when someone actually arrives in one of these subworlds. Generally speaking, people arrive in a subworld based upon the level of narrow-mindedness or egotism and or arrogance that they have exhibited while they were physically and astrally alive. And the level that they have kind of limits their ability to sense their surroundings. Because this egotism is sort of like a band of energy that surrounds the person and keeps out others' thought. Well, keeping out others' thought while you're physically alive isn't going to block them from physically being in your presence. The same is kind of true in the astral world. But if you do it in the mental world, you block their presence. You prevent them from, you prevent yourself from even perceiving their own existence. And so for many people, they end up in the mental world for a considerable length of time, completely isolated from others, not because of anybody doing anything to them, but because they have created this for themselves. And you might say, well, gee, that sounds terrible. Well, it is, but it's self-created, and it doesn't last forever. But it can last for a considerable period of time, depending upon the level of egotism and or arrogance a person has created for all the time that they were physically and astrally alive. during a time that someone is in that quandary of not being able to sense others around them because they block out others' thoughts, and thought is what is constructing others' bodies and senses at the same time, so they just block everybody out, they are caught in a quandary, because in order to get over the egotism, they have to get through it. They have to relive the events in time and space that they were thinking in ways that were self-focused and that didn't allow others' thoughts to come through, and literally repair that part of their mental senses and body. This is quite an experience. The good news is that the added dimension that is part of the mental world is time itself. And it's kind of a fascinating element to it. Time itself is what is the part of the mental world that makes it so different from the astral or physical worlds. You can live in all three parts, or at least at a minimum three parts of time that we identify as being parts, like past, present, and future. And so you can actually live in a part of time that is the past, and in that past part of time, a person can enter it. It's called the Akasha. Some of you have may have heard that name in terms of like records, Akashic records. Well, the records are really just this past part of time. They aren't a book. I know some people call it that, and it's been called many things. But the important part is, based upon what I can tell you about it, it's actually dimensionally the past part of time, as it affects lower mental energies. And so a person actually goes back and starts to relive where their egotism is the most predominant, and deals with four different kinds or categories of egotism. And when you first get there, usually you deal with those things that dealt with the material world and material existence. This is at the earliest part of a person's incarnation while they're physically alive. And the areas where someone is physically selfish, materially selfish as well, they start reliving commonality in their thoughts that they blocked out other people's thoughts about. They were egotistical or arrogant, in which case they not only blocked out other people's thoughts, but they even blocked out any kind of givingness towards other people. So they were not only self-righteous and believed that they were always right, but they also didn't care about other people as well. So there's a difference between arrogance and egotism. Now, in the case of those who end up usually working on the material side of things, that can take a pretty long time, because during material life, most people are unusually selfish. And they are selfish not only in a material sense, but their thoughts are oftentimes rationalizing and creating excuses for their material selfishness. That's what they got to break through. Not so easy to do. So what a person does is they go from one specific kind of thinking, using a sense or senses, mental senses, in a certain way, and they move to the next and the next and the next that they did while they were physically alive in kind of a logical time sequence. Time doesn't move ahead minute by minute. It moves by event to event that has common thought connected to it, common selfish or egotistical thought connected to it. So a person could jump 10 years because they never thought again in the same way selfishly for another 10 years. And they can jump to another part of their life that might be 10 years ahead, but they're revisiting that kind of egotism again in someone else's thought, or maybe the same person's that they are dealing with. And this repeats itself over and over again until a person gets it right, being that they no longer block out the thought of others and are willing to consider and think about the perspective of other people's thoughts instead of just their own, which tends to rebuild their sense and unify time and space. Because when you do this egotistical thing, you cause a problem in the mental world itself of splitting time from space and causing a dimensional anomaly and problems in the mental world. So people are not only correcting their own bodies and senses and thoughts while they're in this Akashic experience, they also, amazingly, are actually correcting the mental world. The entire world is being improved upon. Something to consider. Wow, talk about it really affecting everybody. It makes it easier for people to think more truthfully. What is truth? Truth is whole thought that supports other whole thought. And it allows others to think better. That's a good thing. So, in a way, we could say it's a journey on finding truth and creating more of it in ourselves and others when we first arrive in the mental world. It's a very, very fascinating thing. Now, this is not what the whole mental world is about, but I may not get to all of it tonight because I believe that there will be a second show on this next week, in which case I can tell you so much more about it. So I want to cover this part because if you understand this part, then the rest of it will fit together and make more sense when we get to it. Okay, so someone is kind of, you might say, stuck in this experience of their past existence, and it can also not only cover the physical life, but also the astral life, because there are different subworlds. And in the seventh subworld, people mostly deal with the physical world's experiences. In the sixth subworld, it's more towards the astral, although it's not completely in that order. And also it has to do sometimes with the nature of their own thinking and where they were thinking from that created the problem rather than what dimension they lived in. It's a very fascinating way of developing ourselves. Okay, so someone doesn't spend all of their time, though, just in the Akasha. They come out of it. But when they come out of it, they usually come out of it because the sense that they were working on to develop gets a bit tired, and they need a rest. And when they come out of it, they find themselves still unable to communicate with any other human beings that live in the middle world because they still are too egotistical. They're still working on it. It's a work in progress. So they find themselves kind of like almost in their own, we'll say, isolation. Now, they can create surroundings, and they can create anything they want. They can even technically create people, but those people would only do or say what they thought them to do and say, so they'd be like their own puppet show. But they can create almost any surrounding they want, and often do. And so they live in what might be considered very comfortable surroundings as far as what they're concerned, but they are isolated. And loneliness can get to them pretty badly because they're either in this Akashic experience, and during that time they're not fully conscious because they're not using their senses in a full enough way to be fully conscious. It's sort of like they kind of know some things about who they are. It's sort of like in between being a dream and being fully cognizant of who one is. It's not like being in a dream where you're completely unaware of who you are or mostly unaware of who you are. But they don't realize that they're actually necessarily living in the mental world. And they can be easily convinced that they're back physically alive and the experience seems to be repetitious to them, because it is. They may be going over the same experience many times, but they can't necessarily remember every other time that they went through it. So it's a difficult problem. When they come out of that, though, they are fully conscious, and they can remember that they were having this Akashic experience. And then they can meditate on it, and they can come up with ways that they want to change to not relive the same experience over and over again without making a change. And they are motivated to do this. They're not motivated to do it just because it's kind of nasty and punishing. They're motivated to do it because they want to become something greater. If you don't have the positive side of it, the positive inclination to want to improve yourself, then you're stuck. Then you have a problem because just wanting to avoid the negative is not good enough to improve the sense and get to the truth. You've got to have this other element of wanting to improve yourself. Isn't that interesting? Now, the good news is that there are servers. There are people that run around the mental world and actually help people who are stuck in this beginning experience of life in the mental world. Some of them are residents of the mental world who have already been through it and want to help those that have it. And the way they help is they can break through the egotism that the person has and can, through the force of their own thought, can make themselves fully known and realized by the person who is in a meditative state trying to overcome the nature of their own egotism. And they can have a discussion. They can help them to break through the limitations in their own thought, to help them to become less, we'll call it self-focused in mental thought, and help them to seek to want to become more truthful because they will live a creative and more godly life. And they know they need to do it that way, to create a positive front, because it can't all be about negativity because that doesn't work to solve the problem. And they also can do something else, which is very interesting. They can, when a person goes back into the Akasha and starts reliving their past, they can actually make modifications into what the person experiences so that they will quickly change their pattern of redundant egotistical or arrogant thought and come to a realization more quickly that by being open-minded and by hearing the thoughts of others and doing something with those thoughts, they can change. Now, the interesting part about this is that those that serve in this way recognize the need to do both, to deal with a person when they're fully conscious and in meditation about the process, and to deal with them when they aren't going to be fully conscious, but to help them still to come to, we'll say, a better outcome as they relive their life with changes that cause them to make better decisions in the process. It's kind of a fascinating idea because it gives all of the servers a chance to, in many ways, experience kind of almost an omniscience and omnipotence in dealing with these people. But, of course, they don't overextend themselves. And they don't try to force, and you never can, someone to think a certain way. What they do is they create choices. Some of them are fairly extreme, but they create choices that the person can either remain in a state of egotistical thought or can choose to break out of it. And if the choices are correctly designed, then there is no forcing someone to think about anything. It's only giving them greater opportunity to grow and become something greater. It's really, really fascinating. And this is done quite often. Now, not everybody has somebody helping them all the time on either side, when they're meditating or when they're in the Akasha experience. But nonetheless, even being helped 1 out of 10 or 100 times is considerable help, because most of the time it only takes 1 or 2 of these helping experiences for someone to break through the illusion, because they're already motivated to do so just by the fact that their senses are keener and they are living in a more spiritual way just by existing in the mental world. This is very good, and it does change people. Now, you might say, but look how egotistical we all are while we're living here, and how much are we doing it when we're in the astral world? Isn't there a huge amount to get over? And unfortunately, the answer to that is yes. But we're going to learn a lot more about that next week when I continue and tell you some of the wonderful things, I realize I didn't get to those today, about living in the mental world and how incredible it is to work on becoming a soul. Now, before I leave, I want to mention that this Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m., I guess that's the time zone if you're in daylight time in the Pacific Coast, from 2 to 3 p.m., on a station out of Boston, which is WDISAM.com, you can hear a show on making better life decisions. Now, if you're in the Boston area, you can tune into 1170 AM. But if you're not, you can hear Making Better Life Decisions, a show that I've done. And so you can hear that over the Internet. And hopefully you will listen in, because I would love for you to do that. Also, for those of you who are familiar with what we're doing here in the Phoenix area, and if you're going to be around, come out to Glendale Borders Monday, November 5th. The topic will be on karma, and I and another member of the spiritual group I'm a member of will be talking about karma. So that would be great for you to attend from 7 to 8:15 p.m. And until next week, I just want you to think about what we talked about in tonight's show, because I will continue on, and believe me, we're going to get into all of the wonderful things about life in the mental world next week. So hang in there and tune in next week. Tell all your friends about it, too, because, hey, this is a show where they may be interested in it. So until next week, this has been Niles McFlower for Why Life Is.